This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester. Sports Daily, mornings on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, to another edition of Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Gester here with you on a Wednesday. What day is it? It's hump day. We're glad to be here with you. Happy Sports Daily Wednesday. If you were up late again with the Royals last night, I'll raise my hand. They were maybe a little groggy this morning, and they didn't make it worth it last night like they did on Monday. But here we are anyway, and we're glad to be here with you on a Aloha Hawaiian shirt Wednesday, Tommy. I see that you slipped your mind again here this morning.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you're expecting. I mean, I think by this point I've made my stance relatively clear.
I think what you could do is just set a reminder on your phone on Tuesday nights or Wednesday morning to grab your best Hawaiian shirt. That's what I do anyway. So I'm certain that I don't forget. Max is participating today. He already sent me a text. I appreciate that, Max. And here we go. Royals lose. We get flag football in the Olympics. We've got Shreyas Lada in. I think we're going to have Kevin Saul in. Wichita State baseball in a tournament. They're out in some travel-y time zone differences, so we're hoping to connect there. All kinds of good stuff this morning. We'll have some giveaways for you. Tommy, how are you?
I'm tired. And it's not because of the Royals. Honestly, I didn't stay up super late. I watched until about, the sixth inning or so, and then I went to bed. And my dog woke me up at like 2:30 in the morning to go to the bathroom, and then I couldn't go back to sleep. And it was about 5 a.m. and I'm laying in bed and I'm like, man, I got to get up soon. And I'm a little groggy, a little tired this morning, and not because of the Royals playing out west.
Well, not because of the weather either. Probably because we're old. The Royals do lose. We get the Thunder flexing a little bit on Minnesota in the first game. It was close for a while, and then the second half, it just opened up on that. Wichita State baseball loses its opener, can't handle the conference pitcher of the year. But I think that, honestly, Tommy's the story yesterday, this flag football thing out of the Olympics. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty fired up about that. My only concern is, like, who's going to play against the USA in this thing? This isn't one of those international sports, I don't think. Who's going to play against us? But either way, it's going to be awesome. You kidding me? NFL players out there for the Team USA in a flag football, it's going to be fantastic.
Is it weird if I say I don't really care? I mean, it's fine.
I think so.
It's fine. Like, look, I'm not going to like not watch it when it comes around and everything, but I there hasn't been a single moment in my life where, you know, I've been watching the Olympics and I've been like, you know what this Olympic Games really needs? It really needs flag football. I've literally never had that thought one time. Doesn't mean that it won't be cool when it, you know, all happens and everything. And, you know, I'm sure we'll get some really cool players from the NFL that will be on Team USA and whatever. Like, that's great. I don't know. I mean, I saw all the reporting yesterday about it, and I'm like, all right, cool. Like, doesn't really move the needle for me, but I guess it's fine.
You know what your problem is? Hawaiian shirts, not getting excited about fly. You're just a fun hater. You're just a fun hater, and I don't know. I don't know what to do for you. There's nothing. There's no help. There's nothing we can do.
Hey, I'm comfortable in my own skin and the things that I get behind and things I don't.
That's right. That's right. No, I think it's pretty cool. I'm concerned that we'll just wipe the floor with everybody and it won't be that competitive. But I do think that honestly, the most interesting part of the news is that the owners were like, yeah, we're good with it because of injury, right? Like it's sometimes there's resistance to stuff like that and they weren't. And I think for the NFL and maybe they got in their ears, like there's probably not a better opportunity to grow the game of football internationally than the Olympics. I wouldn't think. Could it be a disaster? Sure, it could. Remember breakdancing? Like, yes, it could be. It could be not that interesting, but I think it will be. And I think, you know, for the Olympics, and if you're, I assume NBC, like it's the best news you could have ever gotten for the Olympic Games is that now you get to attach, you know, a bunch of NFL players, whoever it might be in 2028. Patrick Mahomes has already made his stance clear that he wants to play in it. I don't know that he would be my top choice for a flag football team, man. That's the other part too that makes it fun for me. Like immediately, it's like, oh, who should we put on the team? Like that's where my brain goes, and I'm like, Mahomes, yeah, I don't know that Mahomes would be the flag football quarterback that I'd want. I mean, we're looking at you, Lamar and Jaden Daniels. Like who can run around like that? Who's going to be impossible to catch to rip a flag off? Who's going to play defense on this team? Like that's the kind of stuff we were water cooling yesterday. Well, I think it's fun.
I think, you know, yeah, Lamar, Jaden Daniels. I mean, Justin Fields would be phenomenal, I think, in a flag football game. But the thing about Mahomes is that he's kind of sneaky fast, right? He's got that sneaky athleticism that, you know, the opponents probably wouldn't recognize until it's too late and there's no way to get his flag.
What did Robert Saleh famously call it? His old man trot? They've done scientific studies that his lateral speed is maybe the best in the NFL. I get all that. I just don't know. Like, we're going to need some time here and hopefully they'll maybe have some warm up. I haven't spent a second with the Pro Bowl doing flag football, not a second. So like, I don't know.
And maybe that's why I'm not, maybe that's why I'm not super excited about this. Like, it's fine. I'll watch it. It's the Olympics. It's during a time when we don't have football typically in the summer and all of that. But I think some of it's because I don't care about the Pro Bowl flag football. That doesn't get me excited. I don't watch it ever. And so, you know, I think that this is kind of along those same lines.
Yeah, but that, you know, when the Olympics start, and maybe I'll watch anything in the Olympics.
Sure.
Like I don't care what it is, if it's especially if it's Team USA. And so this I'll actually know. I will be excited for this. I might be more excited for like roster selection than the actual games because I think it's interesting. But that news comes down yesterday. Kind of I didn't even know they were taking a vote. Like I didn't even know this was happening.
Well, I think because everybody's been focused on the tush push and that ban and the vote on that. And that's been kind of front and center in what the NFL owners are voting on. That this didn't really get all the attention. I mean, it's been all about what's going to happen with the tush push.
It was just there. It was just right there yesterday. I was like, oh, they're voting. Oh, they passed it. Oh, wait, what? What are we doing? Oh, yes. And then the juices start flowing. Tush push. Boy, I hope it's gone. I don't like it. We talked about it yesterday. Maybe we'll talk about this a little bit later. I don't like it. I hope it's gone. I think it's not worth our time anymore. All right. So Tommy corrected me. The tush push is not worth our time. It's a boring play, but we'll let's get into that in a little bit. Tommy corrected me. We do not have Shreya Slada. I forgot he was traveling. So we will not have Shreya Slada this week, which is okay. We're still waiting on that draft deadline basically for KU to fill out the roster. So, it's a good time to give Shreya a little bit of a break. So we'll have maybe Kevin Saul, if we can get connected, I'll check in with him and see if his travel schedule allows it. In the next segment, let's talk about this tush push. Let's talk about the Royals. Same old story. Rinse, wash, repeat, right? Not enough offense. And we will continue to try to understand it as best we can and navigate through it and let Royals fans vent frustrations. You can call us and do that at 869-1240. You can leave us video comments on Facebook, YouTube, and X and do that as well. It's all there for you today. We'll have some giveaways. Thanks for listening to us on the Odyssey app. If you missed yesterday's interview with Paul Mills, Wichita State men's basketball coach, you can go to the Odyssey app and you can catch that, which is where you'll find Shocker Baseball later today. All right, we'll come back. More Sports Daily. Don't go away.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. If you want to win some HTO, I am celebrating here Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. Max is celebrating. Tommy's not. That's because we're getting into the spirit of the summer season. And we'll do it with a little iced T.O. for you right now as well. More than 26 flavors to choose from, and you can get a free one from either East Wichita, West Wichita, or in Derby right now by giving us a text. You send the keyword T to 20357. That's T to 20357. That'll get you an iced tea from HTO, any of the three metro locations. Message and data rates apply. You can enter once per day. Welcome back into Sports Daily. We'll still try to connect with Kevin Saul, but they're in the middle of a baseball tournament. We knew it was about a 50-50 proposition today. No worries. Shocker Baseball loses. They go up against Conference Pitcher of the Year. Yesterday, Tommy, looks like Conference Pitcher of the Year. Went 8 innings, struck out 13 guys, and now they've got to, you know, climb their way through a loser's bracket. And they got on a, you know, a streak to end the season that'll be kind of the streak it will take in this moment to get through. You can hear Shocker Baseball today. Coverage begins around 4 o'clock, we think, out in Clearwater for that AAC tournament. They're kind of a 40 minutes after the conclusion of a game situation here. So we'll get them there just as quick as we can. But the Shockers they got their back against the wall now.
Yeah, they do. I listened to a good portion of the game yesterday afternoon with Mike Kennedy, and, you know, it sounded like early in the game, things kind of got away from Wichita State. You know, they gave up some runs to Charlotte, and at that point, it made it tough for them to kind of crawl their way back. And, you know, so yeah, their backs are up against a wall. It's do or die time for Wichita State for them to make a little bit of noise in this conference tournament.
Yeah, and we'll see if they do. And we'll hear it here on KFH today, and we'll let you know tomorrow if they're able to do it. Let's go right into the tush push, Tommy. We talked about this for a second. We touched on it a little bit yesterday with Felix Johnson, but it's been a while since we really voiced our opinion. I don't like it. I think it needs to go. I guess I don't know. I don't recall where you sit with it. I think it should be gone. I don't like the play.
I actually don't think that it should be banned. I think ultimately that's what will happen. I think that, you know, the NFL owners and all of that, they'll vote to ban it and, you know, have it not be part of what the Eagles want to do, or really any team for that matter. I really don't think that that's the way to stop it. I think that you've got to be able to defend it better. I think it's on the, you know, the course of each individual team that plays the Eagles to be able to shut them down. You know, I don't like that it's going into the hands of the owners to decide its fate. I just think your defense needs to be better.
Well, I think the problem is that there's no way for the defense to be better, but that's not the problem for me. I mean, it's not going to end I'm not that worried about it, but I do think the NFL has an opportunity, because really right now, one team does it perfectly. Everybody else isn't quite as good at it. And none of this is like to punish the Eagles. I don't really like the Eagles, but it's not to punish the Eagles. That's not it at all. To me, it's as boring as you can get. And we're in the business of a sport, a league, a game that is trying to never be boring. And it's very boring. It gets the worst play in football. It takes strategy out. It takes what would be one of the most exciting plays in football and makes it the most boring play in football. We've got the league constantly changing rules on kickoffs and all of these things to try to make things more exciting and better. For those reasons, to me, it's a no-brainer. Like, it's not a fun play to watch. It takes this, you know, the suspense and the strategy out of short yardage situations, which are some of the most key and critical situations in a football game.
So why not, if you're the Eagles or if you're an offense that can execute it at a high level, then why not do that? I mean, I don't ever fault the Eagles from doing it, because they're successful at it and they can convert on these short yardage situations. So then I think the strategy then becomes, if you're a defense, stop it. Like, do what you can do to try to stop it. And maybe that's the whole thing, is that it's impossible to stop. But I don't think it's impossible. I think it's difficult to stop. But, you know, I think that it's not like we're banning other plays just because teams have a good amount of success in executing the play. Like, you have to counteract it with what your defense is doing to try to stop the offense from gaining yards or getting into the end zone or whatever the case might be. I just don't like the fact that you're basically taking it out of the hands of the players to try to let the game play itself out. You've got to elevate it to the owners to ban a certain play. I just don't like that.
Well, I get it, but they change the rules all the time. Like, that's the thing. There's a precedent here. They change formational rules. They change the rules to
tell me what they've changed as far as an individual play is concerned that one team is really good at executing and other teams can't stop. Because I don't think there is a precedent.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're looking at it from there's only one team that does it, I guess that's a little bit different. But the rules are changed in the league almost every single year, right? We all talk about all the time the rules are now benefiting the offense more than the defense. They change what constitutes a catch or what's called pass interference or what's called, like, they do that kind of stuff all the time. Most of the time, we know it's to help offenses, to help, you know, elevate scoring. We've changed, you know, roughing the passer penalties. We've done all of these things.
Yeah, but that's a player safety thing. And I'm not sure.
Well, they're saying this is a player safety
thing. They're saying it's a player safety thing. It's the other teams that don't feel like they can stop it.
The line of scrimmage for a defensive back being more restrictive, that's not a player safety thing. That's so it's easier to throw the ball and score points, right? Like, because the league wants more points. They don't want games to be 14-13. And I get it. I understand. That's why I never have a problem with any of that stuff. I think it's fine. This will be a good discussion. And I'm going to have to look that up. I don't know off the top of my head. All right, let's take a quick pivot here. We do have Kevin Saul And we've been trying to connect. We'll have him via audio this morning, which is just fine. Kevin, are you out in Florida? How are you this morning? Kevin, can you hear us? All right, we'll try to get that connection here in just a second with Kevin Saul. Tommy is we'll take the tush push here, but we'll get Kevin in the break. We'll do that in the commercial break if we can. Let's just go with the tush push. I don't know why the league wouldn't change the rule. It's not about the Eagles. It's not about to me it isn't. I commend the Eagles. Honestly, I commend the Eagles for being able to do it. I think it's brilliant what they've done with it. I think their execution of it is impressive. The play itself to me is boring. Like, it's not an exciting play. And it's not even just because there's lots of not exciting plays. It's that in that situation of a football game, that should be your most exciting moment of a game. You're trying to get the first down, and it becomes this like go-to. And because make no mistake about it, if it's not outlawed, everybody's going to figure out how to do it and do it well. And so then now, like every game we watch, it's just like third and one is irrelevant. And I don't think you want that if you're the NFL. I don't think you want third, just like they don't want the kickoff to be irrelevant.
I mean, look, I think that if you're going to ban the tush push, it ends up being a pretty slippery slope, because at that point, you ban that. Why not just ban quarterback sneaks in general? Why not just ban a short yardage?
If you're looking for player safety,
why not ban a short yardage fullback run? I know not very many teams have a fullback anymore, but some teams do, and they utilize that to try to convert on third down. Why not ban a power run situation? There have been times the Chiefs have given the ball to like a nose tackle or, you know, somebody like that, to get the ball across the yardage. Like, teams are always trying to find whatever the most effective way is to convert on a short yardage situation. So if you're going to ban the tush push because the Eagles, and by the way, it's not just the Eagles, the Bills are another team that they run a variation of that fairly regularly. If you're going to ban something that penalizes really those couple of teams who do it really well, then, you know, maybe there just needs to be sweeping rules in general about what you can and can't do on short yardage. I don't think that if you ban the tush push that you can really stop there, because then you've got all these other plays that are very similar to the tush push that ultimately I think they end up, you know, working the same way basically.
So I just pulled up, and this is it's such an old article that it doesn't even format correctly. You've got 1996, they changed the 5-yard contact rule for defensive backs. In 1995, a receiver that was knocked out of bounds can now return back in instead of being taken out of the play. That changes the spirit of a game. A defensive back blows you up, hits you out of bounds, and you can't come back in. Like, so that's a rule that absolutely changes the way you play defense. They do this kind of stuff all the time. And I don't think that it's saying you can't, you know, have a quarterback sneak. You basically, the only change is you can't have somebody behind you that pushes you across. That's it, right? It's not, and like, just like an offensive lineman can't pick a wide receiver up and throw them across the line, like that's not legal either. So we do it all the time. I just think it's like, and I get it. I get the discussion about it, but to me, like, it's a simple reason that you change it, and it's that it's because it takes away the enjoyment of a football.
There's a simple reason why teams want it banned, and it's because they can't stop it. That's the reason why. It has nothing to do with the enjoyment of it. But that, I mean, and that's, you know, you want to talk about like the spirit of it all. That's the reason why. Like, the Green Bay Packers can say whatever they want, or you can start throwing out words like player safety and like whatever. At the end of the day, the reason why some of these teams are on board with it is because they can't stop it. That's simply the reason why. So, like, let's just get real about it. Like, and I know they're never going to do that, but like, if the Packers like put in the in their proposal, yeah, we want to ban this because we can't stop it and we don't think other teams can stop it. Okay, like, at least we're being straight up and honest about the reasons why.
That's 100. It's still the reason why to me. Like, we're agreeing on that. Like, that's 100% the reason why, is because you can't stop it. But because you can't stop it, to me, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's taking that exciting play away.
But here's the other thing. Here's the other thing, too. And this is an article from ESPN. So I'm going to ask you this question. Do you know what percentage the tush push appeared in all plays across the NFL last year? what the overall percentage was. I know the Eagles run it, the Bills run it, but out of all the plays across the entire league,
I don't know how many times any play, how many third and ones did it, or how many short
just
yardage?
Total plays in general. How many times did we see the tush push in general in the NFL last year?
I have no idea.
It was less than 0.5% of all plays.
Right, but
0.28% of the plays across the entire league last year were the tush push. I think it's a fair stat because it's so
many plays. How many plays in the NFL were a kickoff? What percentage of plays in the NFL last year were a kickoff? I don't know, right? Like probably the same percentage.
But we're not talking about banning kickoffs. Like that's not.
They absolutely took what a kickoff was, turned it upside down, and reinvented.
Sure, they changed it. Yeah, they absolutely did that. What I'm saying is that it's such a small portion of the actual plays over the course of an entire season across the entire league, but it's getting all of this crazy attention. I just don't understand why. Like defenses do a better job at stopping it. That's the answer. It's not about banning it. It's about, because then why not just ban the entire quarterback sneak and fullback runs and offensive linemen getting handoffs and like all of that? Just ban all of that if you're going to ban the tush push. Do a better job at stopping it.
I'm not arguing with the success of the play. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying it's not good for football. In my opinion, it's not good for football. It's a boring play. It takes a third and one, takes a fourth and one, takes a short yardage situation.
Do you think every time, you remember when Anthony Sherman was the fullback for the Chiefs? Do you think anytime he got the ball on third and one, that was exciting? Absolutely not. It wasn't exciting. So if we're going to go,
he didn't convert every time.
But he did a good portion
not
of the time.
Not at 90%, which is where the Eagles
okay,
are.
So let's use another example here. Every time Mike Allstott got the ball back in the day, he converted for the most part. He was a very successful fullback. It was a pretty
one of my favorite players of all
time. It was a pretty boring play. It was a fullback dive. He got the ball and he converted. If we're going simply off of the criteria of what's exciting and what's not, there are tons of plays that are not exciting whatsoever. That's subjective, by the way. That's not objective. It's an opinion on what we think is exciting and what's not. But if we're going simply based on, well, let's ban plays that aren't exciting, that's a really, really bad precedent.
Maybe I said play. That's not what I mean. It's the situation they're taking away from. Like, it's the situation of, like, it's a 90% conversion. It's a, all right, it's done. It's fine. Look, this isn't one where there's like a right or wrong answer. I get it. This is a total, total opinion discussion. For me, I don't want to see the play anymore. I get it. I totally get why it should not be banned. I get it's not a player safety concern, at least that we've ever seen. Like that, none of that. Like I don't buy into any of that. I just think it's not a fun thing when you're watching a football game to know without a doubt, like this team's going to convert every short yardage situation. I don't like that Jalen Hurts is, you know, I want to know what kind of quarterback he is, not that he rushes for 20 touchdowns a season. Like I don't know. And this is all again, I get it. This is all going to be what do people think about it? I'll tell you this. My opinion on this wouldn't change no matter who the team was. It could be the Cowboys and Dak Prescott doing this, and I would still say I think that that's not good for football. I think it takes away the exciting part of a game. And it makes it boring. And I don't think the NFL, and that's why I ultimately think it's going to get banned. And they can say whatever they want to say, but the reality is they don't want to lose that high intensity moment from a football game. Because what I think will happen is everyone will learn how to do it better. And now we'll see every team start doing it, right? Because you can't stop it. Like the answer can't be just stop it, because you can't. Like that's why it's so effective. It's when you do it right, you can't stop it. And teams will draft a tush-push quarterback, and they'll all learn how to do it. They're not going to ask maybe, you know, Aaron Rodgers to do it, but they'll have a guy on the roster that comes in for a tush-push. The Chiefs should have done this with Blake Bell, by the way. I've said that for years. They should have been doing this with Blake Bell. But that's what I think that's what will ultimately happen down the road, and I think that's why they're going to put a stop to it now. Because I don't think I don't think the league – people may want to see it. I don't think the league wants to see it because I think the majority of fans – like, really? Like, now what are we going to do? Are we going to make it first and 12 instead of first and 10 to try to create more, you know, or less of these situations? I just think that's the slippery slope I'm afraid of. Here's a
really good comparison. This isn't from an article from the New York Times back in 2015. And it talks about the 14 years up to that point in 2015, the 14 years that Tom Brady was the quarterback for the Patriots. And he rushed. He did quarterback sneaks all the time. Like, that's what he did. And he had his success rate in 14 seasons up to that point with the quarterback sneak was 91.3%. And he wasn't being pushed from behind. It wasn't a tush push. It was a traditional quarterback sneak. And he converted either a first down or a touchdown 91% of the time when he did a quarterback sneak. Defenses couldn't stop it. There was never a proposal, though, from opponents saying, we need to ban Tom Brady doing the quarterback sneak.
No, you're right.
Because
you're
we
right.
can't stop it. And, right. like, and they could have easily thrown in there, like, you know, it could be really dangerous for the quarterback. I mean, we saw Patrick Mahomes' kneecap be on the side of his leg mm-hmm. from doing a quarterback sneak. There are always going to be player safety issues on any play. But we never saw opponents submit to the owners, hey, we need to ban the quarterback sneak because Tom Brady is converting it 91% of the time. That's a higher conversion rate than the tush push.
I agree. That's a really good one. The only thing I would say is they weren't trying it nearly as often as the Eagles do it. We'll get to some of the viewer comments and some of that as we make our way through. Now, I believe we have Kevin Saul. Kevin, can you hear us?
I got you guys. How are you this morning?
Good. There we have it. Wichita State Athletic Director Kevin Saul joining us. Are you out in Florida, Kevin?
No, I'm actually not. We celebrated our oldest son's graduation from WSU Tech last night and got a few meetings today and working our way towards the weekend. But if our baseball team can advance a little bit more here, I'll certainly make an effort to get down there this weekend.
Well, congratulations to your son. Congratulations to all the graduates, college, high school, everyone. Such an awesome and exciting and fun time of year. I know most people get really excited for all the graduates, so you know, tip of the cap to everybody out there. So baseball yesterday, Kevin, it's always interesting. I'm glad this is a double elimination tournament. I wish that softball was, but I'm always glad baseball is because I think you get a better representation of a team and not just a team that has a really good starting pitcher. And that's what Wichita State ran into yesterday. We kind of hoped that Charlotte might try to save Gillespie. They didn't. Most teams don't do that. And so they run up against a guy that strikes out 13 batters in 8 innings and never really had a chance to get in that one. I don't know what else to say about that one other than it's luck of the draw a little bit when you have to go up against a guy like that.
Well, luck of the draw. And again, I'm really intrigued. I love sports radio, guys, and I'm really intrigued by your conversation on the tush push. But the way to not get into that situation is to not be the 7 seed and play better during the regular season, which is certainly the expectation here. But you know, you knew going into that game last night, based on his numbers, it's ridiculous, guys. It's like 120 strikeouts and 20 some odd walks. He's a strike machine. And the breaking ball was working really well. We knew if he was on his A game, we were going to have to hold Charlotte to a run or two. And so obviously that didn't happen. But at the end of the day, we've got an opportunity against South Florida today. We beat South Florida in game 2 of the regular season series. So it'll be a similar matchup as that. We had great starting pitching that game that I think went into the 7th. If I'm recalling correctly, I believe that was Brady went into the 7th. And so we'll have a similar setup today. It'll be interesting to watch, see how our guys respond.
And the reality is it's going to take a long win streak. I think the good news is, or the optimistic look at it is, that's what the Shockers did in the season. 5 wins in a row. It'll take something like that now if Wichita State wants to extend the season. And they'll have a chance. That game today, it'll be the 2nd game of the day. We think around 3:30, maybe even 4 o'clock. Sometime after the first game, 47 minutes after the first game, is when that game against South Florida will happen. And we'll see if the Shockers can extend the season. Shockers softball, Kevin, was interesting yesterday. We saw a lot of transfers out of the program. That feels new. There's not usually roster movement with softball other than graduation, right? What's going on there that you can tell us?
Well, I would share with you, based on, you know, the journey of the season and everything that goes on day in and day out in your programs, I don't know that the coaching staff or myself, based on all the conversations we had, are incredibly surprised by the movement that we saw yesterday. But at the end of the day, in all of our programs, we've got an opportunity to get better quicker if we can crack the nut on – knowing the type of player beyond technical skill and ability, knowing the type of player that we're getting through the portal certainly will be to our advantage. And so, again, not a lot of surprises from our perspective in terms of portal entries on the softball side. And I know Coach Breadbenner and the staff are laser focused on replacing and improving the roster this offseason.
Yeah, it's interesting. It'll be new to the program, though, right? To kind of turn over, that'll be a new experience for them. Now, this is probably a different situation than a lot of sports. I would imagine Wichita State softball is going to be in a position to be very competitive with bringing in players in the softball world. But is that something that this staff has had to do before, to your knowledge? I don't remember it having to do something like that.
Well, I think you've had, you know, traditionally in the old school traditional system, you're going to have large senior classes that you have to replace. And that's certainly been the case in the portal era. This is probably the most that she's had. But at the end of the day, there not a lot of them are surprises, guys. And I think one of the advantages of the many advantages that we have at Wichita State with respect to our softball program is you've got a great facility that's being constructed. Certainly you can recruit to that. You can recruit to history, tradition, player development. You don't have to look back too many years to find some remarkable All-American type talent that was recruited and developed at Wichita State. That's really important as well. And then we've talked about it before on your show, guys. I think we're going to be able to do things at Wichita State in terms of additional scholarships and roster resources in the form of revenue share for a sport like softball that we're relatively confident our competitive peers in the league will not be able to do. So those are three or four advantages there that should position us really well to recruit well this offseason.
It's an interesting situation we'll keep an eye on. And then, of course, the other big thing for Wichita State yesterday is Paul Mills came on here with us and then did a bigger scrum later in the day out there, finally able to talk a little bit about the class that's come together, which means everybody can. You guys have those guys, for the most part, on campuses and at least, you know, paperwork signed. I don't know what you think about this class. I think it has become really interesting because it seems to be a good fit, right? Like I think there is a pretty clear goal that was, you know, I want to say achieved by the coaching staff. I don't know what it was like out there on the streets, but the types of players that the coaches were able to bring in all make a lot of sense for if you had to start a roster for Wichita State, what you'd want to see.
Yeah, I think you can see some themes obviously come through guard play and the ability to score from outside was certainly a priority, an emphasis on defense at multiple positions was certainly a priority. The ability to score with our back to the basket down low was certainly a priority, and I think that was addressed with this class. So you start looking at the guards. You've got Michael Gray that we signed from Nicholls State, 6'2", 200 pounds, gives you some size. Played 23 minutes a game, scored in double digits, good rebounder, 41% from 3-point. So how that translates into the American Athletic Conference remains to be seen. You got a Kenyon Giles, 5'11", 170 from UNC Greensboro, 40% from 3-point shooting on 6.6 attempts. So very good there. You got Tyrus, the freshman, that's 190th in the country. Top 200 player, really good, All-American, McDonald's All-American nominee. Brian Amuniki is a really intriguing one, a sophomore from Fresno State, 6'5", 181. Played about 21 minutes a game, guys. He was the last 12 to 15 games. His productivity was really, really good in a very difficult Mountain West conference. He shot 41% from three-point. Over the course of that time period, Keandre Kendall, as you guys know from Butler County, won a national championship. So he's a 6-foot guard, good scoring guard. And then you got Joy and TJ coming back as well. So really excited about that. And then, you know, we can get into the other positions if you'd like. But I think at the end of the day, you're seeing outside shooting. You're seeing defense. You're seeing the ability to score with your back to the basket in the post. We talked defensively. I think we've got three guys that were on their respective leagues, all defensive team, which is typically the top five to seven defenders in their respective league. And then you've got Caron Boyd, who's a 6'5 forward, 218-pound senior from East Tennessee that was the Southern Conference Defensive Player of the Year. TJ is a very good defender. So you see those themes start to come through, and we're excited about this group that's going to be on campus here in about a week.
Yeah, I think the themes there, of course, you know, replacing the down low scoring of Quincy and Corey is I don't know that that was ever going to be a reasonable expectation. That's why I like what they've done. It's going to look a little different.
It'll well, and Jacob, shooting. I think it's an interesting point when you talk about down low scoring for Quincy, right? Quincy, if you look at the facts on offensive efficiency ratings over the last 2 years, he's the most improved player in the country from a development standpoint, right? So really good. But if you think about traditional scoring in the post, in 18 league games, Quincy had a one-on-one situation with his back to the basket to score, I think, maybe seven times in 18 league games, and he was 0-for-7. That's not Quincy's strength.
Right.
Quincy's strength was rim protector, pick and roll, rebounder, you know, putting buckets back down low. At the end of the day, I think the goal with this class was to try and find some guys that could do a little something down low and score with their back to the basket as well.
His development has been one of my favorite things to watch in the modern generation of Shocker basketball. And he didn't start that way. And I think if you're looking at some of these other players coming in, that's what you look like. Quincy wasn't there in the beginning. He got there. Maybe one of these guys can too. I know that character is so important to you guys. Have you had a chance to spend any time with the new players at all yet? I know they haven't started practicing or anything, but how much of that have you been able to see in this early part of the process?
Yeah, great question. And before we leave the development piece, I think another thing that folks would be interested to hear is 2 years ago, Xavier Bell was ranked in KenPom. He was ranked 91st of 93 guards in the American Athletic Conference. And last year he was a first team all AAC, which means, you know, he's a top five guard. So, that development piece, I think, is firmly in place. You've got the ability to churn out some first-team all-conference players, second-team all-conference players, players of the week. We had a national player of the week in Corey, the Oscar Robinson National Player of the Week. So that development piece is really good. The guys have not been on campus yet. I've met a few through the recruiting process, but not all of them. Character is incredibly important, and I would tell you guys that's the most challenging thing to get to in this condensed, pressure-packed, narrow time window of the transfer portal is finding guys that absolutely love basketball, that want to come in here and compete for their position, that aren't scared to compete for their position, and I think they've done a nice job in that, but time will tell as we get these guys on campus in June.
Yeah, that's the story, boy. Isn't that the story for every team across the country? It feels like this year, but the players, the mix on paper, I think it looks pretty good. Kevin, hopefully you make a trip out to Florida because Wichita State baseball makes a little noise in this conference tournament. That game today again, 3 or 4 o'clock. Our coverage will begin whenever it is here on KFH. You'll hear Shocker baseball as you always do. Mike Kennett will be on the call, and we'll see if Wichita State can do it. We will, next time we talk, I believe you guys will have them on campus and maybe just beginning practice. It might be like the first day.
Yeah.
So we appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And thanks for the connection.
Yep. Thanks so much for the time, guys. Appreciate the opportunity to be on the show, and go Shockers.
There goes Kevin Saul, Wichita State Athletic Director. Always appreciate the visits there. Tommy will be back, and we had to step out there for just a second. So it's perfect timing with Kevin. We appreciate his time. Always here on the radio. Look, I'm with you. If you missed anything with Paul Mills yesterday, or you missed anything with Kevin, you can go back and listen on the Odyssey app. Nobody knows across the country. There's just so much turnover what it's going to be. So the only thing we can look at right now is what it looks like on paper. And on paper, I think this collection of players in Paul Mills yesterday, the most probably topical thing he said is that they're not done yet. I don't know what that situation looks like, but he said they're still evaluating and actively seeking another player to bring in. So they're not done yet. But it all just, at minimum, it makes sense on paper. They've got a bunch of dudes that know how to play defense, and they bring in guys that have been shot makers, you know, from three specifically before. So you can catch all that on the Odyssey app. That'll do it for hour one. We'll get Tommy back in here. I think we got to continue the conversation about the tush push. A little unexpected, but it's a good one. It's an interesting one. We'll have some viewer comments. Stick with us. Another hour of Sports Daily coming right up.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.